This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. The Dragon's Back Door, written by D.A. D'Amico, performed by Chris Herron. Surprisingly, it didn't smell that bad at all. The odors wafting through the cramped chamber were somehow tasty, reminiscent of the great boar they'd roasted last Michaelmas. Andinus could feel his stomach protesting, reminding him he hadn't eaten since before he'd sneaked into the old monastery the dragon used as a lair. A series of short barks echoed through the damp walls as Mycetophocles, the little brown mouse hiding in Andinus's back pocket, clamored to be heard. "Yes, I know," Andinus spoke to the agitated creature. "I'm going." Mycetophocles had been a jitter since Andinus had explained his plan to enter the dragon's apartments. Mice weren't that brave, but neither was Andinus. The scariest thing he'd done lately was to pay his tab at the inn. Mycetophocles barked again.
"Enough!" Andinus hissed. "Be quiet. Eribigon shouldn't return for a while yet, but there's no sense pushing our luck."
The dragon, Eribigon, was most assuredly not at home. He might, even now, be devouring Andinus's know-it-all brother, Vaid, who'd recently begun a foolish crusade to kill the foul beast. Let him try. It was common knowledge dragons were pretty nigh indestructible, and some harpoon launched from a bow wasn't about to change that. Andinus did appreciate the distraction, though, for it was also common knowledge that dragons were like magpies. They hoarded shiny objects. And if the stories were true, Eribigon slept on a bed of gold coins, resting his giant-scale neck against bags of rubies, diamonds, and sapphires. Andinus just wanted to fluff the monster's pillow a bit. So far, they'd found nothing.
"I think we're almost there," Andinus whispered. "I see a glow around the next corner."
Mycetophocles signaled his assent with a short burst of barking, staccato pops that echoed from the walls behind Andinus. They entered a cavernous chamber. Dull moonlight unfolded from slit windows high along the walls. Assorted debris lay heaped and scattered over graceful pillars and what was once an ornate tiled floor. The smell of roast pig had changed to something decidedly less tasty. Andinus scanned the floor, the walls, the corners, and every conceivable nook and cranny, but saw no treasure. Nothing that even resembled the riches he sought.
"I think we've been lied to, my friend,"
the mouse barked. Just then, a great dark shape loomed against the dim light, casting the chamber in nightmare shades of black. Mycetophocles squeaked, for once abandoning his unmousy bark. Andinus stumbled. He realized all too well what that shadow must be. Eribigon had returned from his terrorizing of the local townsfolk, and although the creature may not still be hungry, he would undoubtedly be cranky if he caught the sight of two intruders in his home. Andinus let out a shriek rivaling that of the mouse as the sound of scale-rasping stone began echoing through the chamber. He scrambled in the direction he'd come, practically throwing himself over bales and mountains of scattered debris. His brother might be foolish enough to face a dragon head-on, but Andinus had only come for the money. He misjudged a leap in the darkness, sliding up to his knees in a deep mound of foul-smelling ooze. He gagged, vomiting a little as he squelched his way out and continued his run for the secret back exit. Mycetophocles woofed, whined, and made little mousy choking sounds,
all rather distressing as they came from Andinus's back pocket. "I'm going! I'm going!" He slid around a dark corner and came up against the broken stone stairway that led to the hollowed-out tree. Mycetophocles circled the wooden charger nervously, his long whiskers making an occasional scratching sound against the near-petrified block of poor Salut cheese resting in the center of the plate.
"Stop pacing!"
Andinus sat on the edge of the rough straw pallet he used as a bed, his knees drawn up and his head tucked under his elbows. It had been a long, wasted night, filled with danger and absolutely no profit. Whoever wrote those fairy tales about dragons should be fed to one. Treasure? There wasn't even a rusty nail to bring home. But if he had found a nail, it probably would have been by stepping on it. He glanced through the splintered sticks he used as shutters. Jaundiced light fell in greasy lumps, the flickering torches of outraged villagers. Erebigone had apparently caused quite a bit of trouble. Mycetophocles barked, and then let out a pained squeak as he chipped a front tooth by trying to bite a sliver off the fossilized cheese.
"Sorry," Andina said. "I can't afford anything better."
"Bark, bark, bark."
"Yeah, I know. If there'd actually been treasure, we'd be dining on brie and venison right now."
Andinus leaned over and scratched the little brown rodent under the chin. He couldn't really understand Mycetophocles' barks, and it wasn't as if the mouse had magical powers or anything. But Mycetophocles was the only friend Andinus had.
"Stick with me, buddy. We'll get rich somehow."
Mycetophocles wrinkled his pink nose. Andinus did the same. Something smelled worse than usual. Andinus sniffed, moving from corner to corner within the one-room dwelling. He checked under a pair of his old socks, as stiff and pungent as the stone-solid cheese where Mycetophocles perched. Then, on top of his one piece of real furniture, a warped cedar closet his mother had left him. Still, he couldn't find the stench. He lifted one arm, then the other. Both foul, almost unbearable. Another month and he'd have to take a bath. Again, not the unfamiliar odor he pursued. Then he glanced down. His shoes, never in the best of shape, were caked with drying globs of blackish substance. It reeked of dragon. He remembered the enormous clod of dragon dung he'd so unfortunately tumbled into on his escape from Erebigone's lair, and sighed. Not only did he find nothing of value, he'd managed to ruin one of the few possessions he owned.
"This just hasn't been my night,"
he said as he sat down next to the stone hearth and began scraping the foul detritus away with a twig. Tiny flakes sparkled like miniature shooting stars as they fell into the flames, larger chunks bursting with rank-smelling explosions. Andinus amused himself as he worked, saving little mounds of the black powder to toss all at once into the fire. He just finished cleaning the last bit of dragon poop from his shoes when there was a knock on the door and Vaid barged in.
"We almost had him, brother,"
Vaid grumbled loudly as he dropped himself into the only chair in the small room.
"I had three men pulling back on the bow, and still, my harpoon wasn't powerful enough to penetrate the dragon's scaly hide. If only I had more force. A bigger bow."
"Good for you," Andinus mumbled distractedly as he filled a thumb-sized clay jar with the remainder of the dried dragon dung. Mycetophocles barked what might have been a hello.
"So close, brother. So close. Imagine if I could be the man who killed Erebigone. the man who vanquished the last dragon. The king has already proclaimed a reward. Imagine.
I came close tonight as well, Endinus said with an ill-tempered sneer. He hadn't told his brother where he'd gone. If there'd been treasure, he certainly wouldn't have waited to share it.
Pardon?
Nothing. He tossed a pinch of the dragon scat in the fire. It flared beautifully, leaving a purple spot before his eyes.
What's that you've got there?
Vaid leaned forward, his eyes bright pebbles reflecting the flickering of flame. Endinus dropped another smidgen into the hearth. It sparkled and fizzed. The glare reflecting off of Vaid's wide eyes didn't escape his notice. His brother was mesmerized.
Smells like brimstone,
Vaid said. Smells like opportunity. Endinus smiled. He poured a thin line of the black powder across the worn stones and lit one end with a burning taper. It flashed in a curtain of golden flame. Vaid clapped and giggled like a child.
That's amazing! Did you invent this? You're a genius!
And Dinas puffed with pride under his brother's praises.
You could say I just stepped into the idea. Well, you might have something great here.
Vaid slapped him on the back.
This flashing and sparkling alone would make a fine show. And, with a little more thought, well, who knows what you can come up with?
Undinus chuckled. Maybe his brother was right. Maybe this was just the thing that could make him rich. Dragons, essentially immortal, were fabled poopers. He'd have an endless supply, with no overhead. Figures started scrolling through his mind. In all the excitement, he accidentally brought the clay jar too close to the flames. The trickle of powder escaping from its tapered end ignited, and the bottle jumped from his fingers. It sailed rapidly across the room. A streamer of white smoke marked its path as it exploded against the far wall, sending tiny sparks splashing across the floor as if it were raining stars. Vaid gasped. Endinus winced, quickly checking to see if he'd set his house on fire.
Do you have more of this stuff?
Maid's voice had changed, become shallow. Wheels tumbled somewhere inside his thick skull.
That was it,
Endinus huffed as he ran his fingers over his scorched wall. He could never afford to repair this hovel if it were to burn down. He'd be a beggar, ruined if that happened.
Can you make more? You must make more of this.
Vaid grabbed Undinus roughly by the shoulders and began shaking him. His brown eyes glittered like sparks from the burnt powder.
Okay, okay!
Undinus pulled himself from his brother's grasp, rearranging his coarse blue tunic.
Can you do it? Now!
The last thing Undinus wanted was to go back to the dragon's lair. He'd have to wait for another of the creature's infrequent outings.
I can't do it with a snap of my fingers.
He stalled, improvising.
It takes time. It's a very slow, very secret process. And very expensive.
He threw the last bit in as an inspiration. Maybe he could get his brother to front him a few coppers.
Whatever it costs, I'll pay it.
Maid paced the slate floor, his boots clinking as he walked. His hands worked nervously in arcane patterns, like a wizard casting a spell. The spell was, Undinus recalled from their childhood, mathematics. Vaid had always needed to count on his fingers. Now he seemed to be measuring something, counting money, perhaps. He stopped in mid-stride and spun.
I'll need 3 casks. How soon can you concoct them for me?
3 casks? That was a lot of poop. But
and Dinas was certain the dragon could handle the output, would he need to find a way of feeding Eribigone if the demand for the creature's turd increased? He pictured a fatted dragon, round and flatulent, with huge heaps of wheat and livestock funneling into one end while he scooped endlessly at the piles that dropped from the other. Providing food would cut into his profits, something to think about in the future.
"An order that large would take a few days, and I don't have the money for supplies."
It was true. He couldn't even afford to buy the small barrels, let alone a shovel, and he wasn't about to scoop dragon crap bare-handed.
"I'll give you a gold coin if you can do it in 2 days."
Vaid reached into his purse and rifled through his money. And Dinas watched from the corner of his eyes, noting at least 5 of the precious gold ovals. For some reason, he suddenly found it hard to swallow.
"I can't do it that cheaply."
And Dinas raised his hand in a gesture of apology. Inside, he giggled just a little.
"Materials, labor, equipment, time, all these things require money. I'd love to give you what you want, but I'm not really running a charity. You know what it cost me to make that first small bit? Lots."
Vaid frowned. His dark eyes scanned the room. Undinus could tell his brother was skeptical about Undinus's ability to come up with lots of anything.
"Okay, I'll give you 2.
Undinus shook his head.
3 gold pieces,
Vaid countered.
1 per cask.
2.
Undinus smiled.
"I already said 2.
No, 2 per cask. 6 total. I couldn't do it for less."
It grew very quiet in the small room. Not even Mycetophocles barked. Vaid scowled. He tore his purse from his belt and poured the contents onto the worn deal plank Undinus used as a cupboard, dining table, and desk.
"There,"
he grumbled, practically spitting with anger.
"See? All I have. 5 pieces."
Undinus counted. 5 shining discs burned spots before his wide eyes, as well as 1 duller silver slab, 6 little copper-colored pebbles, and an interesting and eclectic assortment of lint blobs in shades from gray to brown. Overall, it was more money than he'd seen in years. He decided he'd let Vaid keep the lint. Maybe. Some part of him simmered, steeped in jealousy that his brother hadn't had a few pennies to toss Andinus's way before this. Admittedly, their relationship, both familiar and financial, had suffered since an incident a few years back when Vaid had given Andinus a small lockbox to hold for him with instructions not to touch it. Andinus had somehow accidentally found it opened one day, possibly an act of dark magic. Inside was a heap of coins, mostly copper, but quite a stash nonetheless. Andinus, overwhelmed and overcome by the shining metal, and under some kind of evil spell at the time, had temporarily borrowed the funds, hoping Vaid would never find out. One thing led to another, and when Vaid returned for the box, there was no money left. Andinus had promised to repay it, but they both knew how unrealistic that was. Their relationship had suffered ever since.
"I want it all," Andinus said flatly. "This is all I have in the world,"
Vaid replied.
"Leave me a little."
"You want the powder?"
Undinus got up and circled the desk. His eyes never left the small stack of coins. He could feel warmth pouring from the gold even 3 paces away. Vaid's face wrinkled, his brows condensing to hunched brown caterpillars on his forehead. Clearly, a struggle boiled just beneath his usually impassive features. And Dinas didn't care. He knew his brother. Vaid wanted this. Wanted it badly. 6, Andinus insisted.
I don't have 6.
Sure you do. Andinus allowed himself a sly smile.
We're brothers. I know you, and I know you always keep a coin hidden in your boot for emergencies. I want that too.
Vaid sprang to the table, snatching up the coins and quickly stuffing them into his purse.
You're crazy! I won't do it!
Andina shrugged and sat back down. I couldn't possibly make the powder for less.
Never mind,
Vaid growled.
Good night.
Night, brother.
Andina shrugged again as Vaid, furious, stormed out of the room. He glanced down at Mycetophocles, who watched the entire transaction with expressionless pink eyes, and winked. The mouse let out a little hiccup-like bark. 3, 2, 1, Andinus counted. At 1, Vaid burst back into the room.
Okay!
He tossed 6 brilliant gold discs onto the wooden table.
Make me 3 casks of your magic dust by tomorrow, and it's yours.
Andinus, his eyes aglow with avarice, simply nodded. It took 1 gold coin to convince Sir Duncan the Drunken, local lush, to tempt Erebigone into leaving his lair for the evening. Andinus had had to explain the plan 3 times to the short, round ex-knight before it had sunk into the man's mead-addled brain. Then it cost him nearly the same amount to buy a cow to use as bait. But he justified it as an investment. The cow, a lovely little Ayrshire with gigantic, trusting brown eyes, had licked his hand when he dragged her off to her fate. He felt a twinge of remorse then, but chalked it up to separation anxiety brought on by parting with so much money in so short a time. He reminded himself he'd get the cow back. It had to come out the other end of the dragon eventually, and when it did, it would be in the form of sweet, stinky profit. Mycetophocles barked nervously the whole time they were in the dragon's lair. Andinus winced at the plaintive cacophony with every spadeful of muddy, foul-smelling detritus.
Shh!
He hissed for the 10th time as he pounded the cover onto the last keg. The small wooden barrels had cost more than he thought, and the man who sold him the shovel had practically robbed him in the street. Overall, he'd spent a considerable portion of his profits just acquiring this first shipment. So much for his zero overhead theory. Thank God he'd asked for so much in the first place. Otherwise, he might not have been able to pull it off at all. The next time, he'd ask for more. Much more. After all, he had the only supply. Andinus found Vaid waiting in his home when he returned.
Did you make what I wanted?
Of course, brother.
Andinus smiled.
Would I cheat you?
Vaid's eyes narrowed. In reply, he uncapped each of the casks, plunging a small knife to the bottom and then taking a lighted taper to a tiny sample from each barrel. When he was finally satisfied, he sat back and sighed.
Thank you. It cost me everything, but I think it'll be worth it.
Andinus frowned. Did Vaid have another buyer? Was he reselling the powder? If so, Maybe Andinus should have kept it for himself. Or, in the very least, have tried to get more money. His stomach started to sour at the thought that someone else might make a few coppers out of this. But he did have the only supply. That counted for something. Even if Vaid were somehow reselling this stuff, he'd still have to come to Andinus when he wanted more. That's when Andinus would really clean up in the poop business. The two brothers shook hands, and Vaid loaded the casks on a small, donkey-driven cart.
"By the way, brother,"
Vaid said as he hopped onto the wagon and grabbed the reins.
"What do you call this magical substance you've invented?"
Andinus thought for a moment. It hadn't occurred to him to call it anything at all. It was what it was, dragon turd, but he couldn't tell Vaid that.
"I call it bum powder."
He laughed, inspired. His brother pursed his lips, and for a moment, Andinus thought he'd gone too far, said too much. Then Vaid shook his head.
"Is that Latin? Or French, I think. Bon odeur? Well, it certainly doesn't smell very good."
It smelled enough like money to Andinus. Andinus woke early to shouting coming from outside his window. He tossed the shutters open to find Begof, the town crier, practically standing on his sill.
"What's the commotion? What's happening?"
Andinus asked, still a little blurry from a late night of reveling. He'd managed to drink, with the help of some very friendly new friends, nearly all of the remainder of his profits.
"Your brother Vaid's done it!"
The large man smiled widely through thick, parched lips.
"Done what?"
Andinus asked.
"Killed the dragon! Killed Eribigoon!"
Andinus shook his head. Cobwebs still clung to his brain because he thought he'd just heard the impossible. Dragons couldn't be killed.
"How?" "He used some kind of magical spear propelled on a streamer of flaming stardust."
The powder. That was why Vaid had wanted it so badly. Maybe Andinus should have kept it for himself. Maybe he should have been the one to use it against Eribigoon. But heroics were never really his thing, and he'd only considered risking his life if there was a sure way to profit by it. His tongue felt like leather that had rubbed the wrong side of a sweaty horse. He spat into the street and squinted up at the brightening, bruise-colored splotch in the east that signified the rising sun.
"So, what does he get?"
Andinus asked.
"A medal from the king? What?"
Begof smirked.
"We'll all be calling him sir before the next morning, that's all."
"A knighthood?"
He turned his attention to Mycetophocles, who'd also been roused from his tiny bed by the commotion.
"Money, title, riches, and all because of my powder."
The mouse barked sleepily.
"I know," Andinus said. "It should have been mine."
Cheering erupted outside. Andinus slammed the shutters so hard he cracked the wood, and then retreated grumpily to the smoldering embers of last night's fire. Vaid may have grabbed the glory this time with the use of Andinus's powder, but never again. Andinus would bargain harder. Next time, he'd make sure he got his fair share of the glory, plus a bit extra to make up for today. They'll be calling his brother Sir Pays-a-Lot. He smiled at that. Yes, that would even the scales. The cheering became a tumult, shaking the very boards of his house. Occasionally, raised voices and trumpeting announced the progress of an impromptu parade in his brother's honor. Andinus tried to cover his ears, but the noises grew louder and louder. Finally, in a storm of clapping and shouted accolades, his door flew open. Bayid, already wearing the silver spurs and carrying proudly a shield emblazoned with a shooting star and a dragon, burst into the room like a conquering emperor.
"Brother," he said with open arms.
And Enos could tell he was already a bit drunk, whether with mead or power, and Enos wasn't sure.
"May I help you?"
And Enos replied, a bit testily.
"Again."
"Your powder was a success. Just the thing I needed. Rebigone is no more. The dragon is dead, and the villagers are even now burning its foul lair to the ground. I'm rich. I'm famous. I owe it all to you."
"Then you're here to share some of your new fortune with me?"
And Enos dared to be hopeful.
"Of course, brother."
Vaid lurched drunkenly to the table and spilled an enormous sack of gold coins across the dull wooden surface. Andina snatched greedily at the shining pile, but Vaid dropped his shield like a lead weight over the money. He wagged his finger in Andina's face.
"I need more powder," he said. "Lots more."
Andina's eyes watered, tearing up as the precious metal vanished from his grasp. It left an impression on his retinas, and he imagined how he could still see the glowing ovals through the harsh leather frame of his brother's shield. He drooled at the thought of it all.
"Sure, as much as you want. Leave the gold, come back later."
The dragon was dead, so a source of new poop was out of the question. But the creature had terrorized the surrounding countryside for years. There must be tons of the stuff filling the chambers of the old monastery. It should be more than enough to make Andinus a very rich man. An ominous rumble, like not-too-distant thunder, erupted outside. An earthquake followed, shaking the little shack so violently and Enos feared the building would collapse around them. The table, with its cargo of gold, clattered like a pair of cheap wooden teeth. Mycetophocles barked as the petrified wedge of cheese hopped about, intent on revenge. Then, after a jaw-splitting crash, it stopped, flowing away like retreating rain.
"What was that?"
Vaid dusted himself off, eyes roving over the gold. He counted it to make sure Andinus hadn't absconded with any during the commotion, as if the whole event had been arranged in advance merely to steal some coins.
"A great explosion.
It came from the direction of Rebigone's lair,"
Vaid said.
"Could it be another dragon seeking vengeance?"
"On me, maybe,"
Andinus replied, with a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach. He fell heavily into his one chair. He knew where the explosion had come from, and knew what it meant. The villagers had set the old monastery ablaze, not realizing it contained tons of volatile powder, and destroying his hopes of ever getting rich. He started to cry.
"So?"
Vaid asked, oblivious to Andinus's pain as he waved a hand enticingly over the table loaded with riches.
"Do we have a deal or what?"
D.A. D'Amico has had nearly 80 works published in the last 10 years in venues such as Daily Science Fiction, Crossed Genres, and Shock Totem, among others. He's a winner of the L. Ron Hubbard's prestigious Writers of the Future Award, Volume 27, as well as the 2017 Writewell Award. Collections of his work, links to anthologies and magazines he's been in, can be found on Amazon. You can also find him at his website, www.dadiamico.com or on Facebook, author D.A. D'Amico, and on painfully rare occasion, Twitter, at D.A. D'Amico. All the links will be in the description below. Hey guys, I hope you liked that story as much as I did. Comedic fantasy is my bread and butter. I live for that stuff. If you did like this work, I want you to know that this is actually the second story on the channel by D.A. D'Amico. You might not recognize the first because it was all the way back at the conception of this channel. I think within the first 50, I'd have to check on that. It was Jukari. And while the story is amazing, my voice acting skills back then were not quite as good as now. So if you want to go back and check it out, I highly recommend it. Just be ready for a bit of a shock. If you guys did like this story, be sure to check out the author. And also, if you're listening on YouTube or Facebook, leave a comment or a thumbs up. Or if you're listening on the podcast, go over to Apple Podcast and leave a review. And of course, be sure to subscribe for brand new stories 2 to 3 times a week. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.